Saga Egmont presents Death of a Suffragette, a Flora Maguire mystery by Anita Davison, read by Jane McDowell.
Chapter 1. Flora alighted onto the platform, into clouds of white smoke from the steam engine that hissed beneath the massive iron and glass canopy of Waterloo Station. Porters darted between travellers, pushing squeaky-wheel trolleys loaded with luggage towards the line of hansom cabs that waited beside the platform. The odours of hot horseflesh, wet leather and manure, mixed with the sweet fragrance of dried lavender from the flower seller's stalls. Flora handed her maid a portmanteau, then followed in the wake of the porter, who had careened off with their luggage, her neck craned to keep him in sight. Disembarking passengers jostled on the platform as Flora carved her way through ladies in wide hats and harassed-looking nurses holding dawdling children by the hand. The soot smuts on their faces reminded her of childhood train journeys spent with her head stuck out of the window, eyes narrowed against the wind as it tugged at her hair. Something every child should do at least once. Sally hurried along the platform beside her, the bag hefted on one hand, and three hat boxes bouncing like balloons on their strings in the other. Suitcases bumped Flora's shins, their owners making no effort to move aside, reducing her progress to a series of shuffling steps and starts. Spotting a gap in the crowd, she dodged between two slow-moving matrons, only to collide with a man in a black Homburg hurrying in the opposite direction. He barely paused to apologise, simply lifted his hat an inch before disappearing into the crowd. Flora glared at the miscreant over her shoulder, muttering at his lack of manners, as her turn arrived at the barrier. The guard clipped their tickets with a machine hung around his neck, releasing them into the arched cathedral roof of the main hall. Coming to an uncertain halt as the crowd dispersed into the vast expanse of the station, she glanced up at the monochrome, four-sided clock that hung from the ceiling. He said he would be here to meet us. She bit her lip as the first pangs of anxiety gnawed at her. Our train arrived on time. So where is he? What if he had forgotten her? Would she be able to find his apartment unaided? He must have been held up. Sally transferred the cumbersome bag to her other hand, flexing her fingers with a grimace. Don't fret, Miss Flora. I expect he'll be here directly. I'm not fretting, Flora fidgeted, irritated at having been so transparent. I'm merely surprised he isn't here waiting for us. For the 10th time since leaving Richmond, she wondered if it had been wise to agree to this visit on her own, misgivings her husband had dismissed. I would accompany you, my love, but I've a complicated legal case on at the moment. After all, William is hardly a stranger. You've known him all your life. His reasoning had not acknowledged her anxiety at all. Perhaps, though not as my father, a voice inside her head reminded her. The last time she had seen William, her behaviour had been less than cordial. When the truth of her parentage had come to light, she had laid the blame squarely on him, fairly or not. Circumstances had kept them apart since then, though his invitation to stay at his London apartment came as no surprise, but one Flora had thus far avoided. Now she would have to prepare herself to face him all over again. Where'd that porter go? Sally dropped the portmanteau at Flora's feet with a relieved grunt. I'll have something to say if he's run off with our luggage. I very much doubt that. He has a job to do, and not everyone is disreputable. You weren't dragged up in Flower and Dean Street, Sally muttered darkly. Can't trust no one down there. Flora pretended not to hear. Immune.